It's called Band of Brothers, Then and Now, the inspiring story of a 1966-1970 WVU football Mountaineers. He's our very special guest. So, Frank Fear, welcome to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on today.
Great. So, I'm confused. You're from New York. You've been in colleges and universities all across the country, Iowa State, and now, you know, Michigan State University. You're a professor there, administrator, everything else, God only knows. You spent apparently a very little amount of time in West Virginia, and yet you wrote the book, Band of Brothers, and you're going to be signing and doing an autograph thing on Thursday for 6 hours. What is it about you and WVU?
Boy, that is the question. Boy, you nailed it right off the bat. My wife and I went to West Virginia after we finished college. We both got our master's degrees there. And you're absolutely right. Of all the institutions of higher education that either one of us has been associated with, our time span in Morgantown was about 2.5 years. And I don't want to engage in hyperbole, but people who know me and know her know this to be true. There is something about West Virginia and WVU that touched us in ways that, as they say, we left, but it never left us. And while we were there, we were just lucky enough to have a number of experiences that we had not planned for. And for me, one of those experiences was getting called in one day by my department chairperson asking if I wanted to take on an assignment because Coach Bobby Bowden had just called and needed someone to go over on Saturdays and talk with recruits, football recruits, about WVU academics. And so that was my sort of the launch pad of my connection with the football program.
But you wrote about the previous coach, Carlin, is that his name?
Yeah, Carlin came to Morgantown from Georgia Tech in 1966. And that and he brought Bobby Bowden with him because a lot of people don't know. Bobby was at Florida State at that time. And then, of course, went back to Florida State where he pretty much made his national reputation. But Carlin came from Georgia Tech. I never met Jim Carlin. He had left before I got that call because the call came, I can't remember, it was 70 or 71. But he, phenomenal coach, who's up for the Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame this year.
Wow. So Bobby Bowden, what was he like back then?
Well, you know, again, great question, because who knew at that point? It was his first major college head coaching job. He had been head coach at two smaller colleges. One was a junior college in Georgia, and then the other was at his alma mater, which is now called Samford in Birmingham. He wasn't widely known nationally, obviously, at that time. But I still remember how gracious he was. He was, how do you put it, highly relational. You felt when you were with him, you were the most important person in the world. And one of the things I learned by doing the book is that players who played for him at WVU, even though that may have been 40 years in the rearview mirror, he never forgot them and would send them cards, would meet with them. And they stayed, a number of the players stayed close with him for the rest of his life.
All right, question. So the period of time that you're focusing on, by the way, this is soon to be a runaway bestseller, probably right after this interview, it's called Band of Brothers, Then and Now, the inspiring story of the 1966-1970 WVU football Mountaineers. In that four-year period, what was the single most important event in Mountaineer football?
Well, I think the most important event actually happened off the field in the sense that West Virginia really had not been what I would call a national power. They had certainly some really good teams back in the 50s in particular, went to the Sugar Bowl, But what happened was the decision was made that took place, actually took effect about 1968, that got West Virginia left the Southern Conference. At one time, the Southern Conference was, what a conference. Alabama, Virginia Tech, Maryland, major schools were in the Southern Conference, but they left for the Southeastern Conference first and the Atlantic Coast Conference. And West Virginia and Virginia Tech were about the only major schools left. And West Virginia left in 68. So I think the off the field, that was major. And it went, West Virginia went independent and really started to upgrade its schedule. And so they started playing better teams, being competitive with better teams. And then the highlight, obviously, was beating South Carolina in the 1969 Peach Bowl.
Tell me about this legendary quarterback from Bel Air, Mike Sherwood.
I'll tell you, I've gotten a chance to know Mike, and he, boy, he is the real deal. Not only was he a terrific leader on the field, he was. It was never about Mike. Mike was not the center of attention. He didn't want to be the center of attention. Talk about a we person, not a me person. He wasn't highly recruited coming out of Bel Air High School, had been injured actually for a while. His father had played at WVU in the 30s. So he comes in, and this is where Bobby Bowden comes back into the picture. Carlin his approach, I wouldn't say he was a defensive guy, but he was a very conventional coach in the sense that he wanted to run a much more wide open offense. And so he needed an offensive coordinator that would do that. And so that's why he brought Bobby from Florida State. And of course, what Bobby needed then was a quarterback who could run the show. And so 68 was Mike's first year, Sherwood's first year. And right out of the chute, I mean, he was just the real deal. Wasn't flashy, but had a good head, great leader. Players had confidence in him. And Carlin did a great job with Bobby Bowden in recruiting. And so they got a bunch of guys to come to WVU. And the beautiful thing back then, I just got through looking at the roster. You know, in those days, about 20 to 30 players of a 60-man roster would be West Virginia guys, and they'd be supplemented mostly from guys from Eastern Ohio and Western Pennsylvania. But Mike Sherwood, the story on Mike, obviously people listening know this, went on to have a great career as a coach, athletic director, principal, administrator, in Bel Air. He's a legend, an icon. He's the kind of person you want as a family member, a friend, a colleague. He just A-plus all the way.
Great. And I understand he's pretty good at playing golf, too.
I don't think there's anything that that Mike does that he's not good at. And, you know, he's a great character guy, which fit in perfectly with that that group. That's the biggest surprise in the book. I never met any of them when Kathy Fear and I were there back then. Coaching staff I did, but not the recruits I did, but not the players. And that's one of the theme in the book. It's very much of a history book. That's why it's subtitled Then and Now, because it talks about them back then, but also talks about their journey through life. And, you know, a bunch of character guys.
All right, a couple things here. Don't forget, for our listeners, there's a live exclusive interview with Frank Fear, the author of the soon-to-be runaway bestseller Band of Brothers, that is now the inspiring story of the 1966 through 1970 WVU football Mountaineers. He is going to be there Thursday at the Marshall County Co-op Annual Stockholders Meeting. It's a big deal event, live music, and they're going to have lots of free food. They're going to have Stephen Novotny doing his show live on Thursday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Frank Fear is going to be there for, what is it, 6 hours autographing your book? 6 hours for a book signing? Are you kidding me?
I
don't. Holy cow.
I don't think I'll be autographing for 6 hours, but I'll tell you what.
I got news for you, my friend. It's on the flyer. It's on the flyer. Book signing noon to 6 p.m. You will be there for 6 hours. Cindy Wade, one of our great saleswomen, will make sure of that. Let me ask you a couple things about WVU and Mike Morgan. Oh, by the way, my sources tell me that that St. Clair's Mayor Catherine Hallman is in the building. Kurt, is she, can you confirm that? Is she in the building?
Yes, and not only that, you requested Sammy, so Sammy is along with
I requested that you ask if Sammy is housebroken. Is he? Did you check? He's here.
No.
I asked, Catherine, is he housebroken? Sort of. Jason. Kurt, we'll talk after the show. I'm sorry. Back with Frank Fear here. Let me ask you this, Frank. When you were in Morgantown, were they burning your couches back then, too?
You know, that's something that that really didn't happen until later. My understanding that the sort of the launch of that was after the 75 win over Pitt, and we were gone by then over to Ames, Iowa. But there were, let's put it this way, very few things come out of nowhere. There were inklings that that things were going to burn, as they say.
I never understood that thing. Burning couches. I've never understood that. One other thing, which I'm going to throw you a curveball here because you're a professor and administrator at Michigan State University. What the hell's going on with your coach?
You know, it's tough. I mean, this is not the college football. This is not the higher education of 1966 through 70. It's changed significantly. It's become a big money operation, and you know, it's a bad look, but it's a bad look at Iowa State too. You know, some of the players have been indicted for gambling on college football. But to answer your question specifically about Michigan State, he's admitted to engaging in what he calls a consensual relationship, and this is the bizarre part, with a nationally known crusader against sexual harassment and sexual assault. He brought in to talk with the team, and that was about a year and a half ago, I guess. And it's evolved. He's been suspended. The bringing in Mark D'Antonio, who, by the way, played under Jim Carlin at South Carolina when Jim was at South Carolina, who was a great coach at Michigan State, to be an advisor, and now is associate head coach. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a mess.
It's a mess.
Well, look, we're almost out of time. I always give my guest the last word. You can speak directly to our audience and tell them pretty much anything you want. You got about a minute or so. So, ladies and gentlemen, Frank Fear, the author of the soon-to-be runaway bestseller, Band of Brothers, Then and Now, the inspiring story of the 1966-1970 WVU football Mountaineers, is going to be in Marshall County at the co-op on Thursday. Book signing, 6 hours. Frank Fear, my microphone is yours.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, I appreciate your giving me this opportunity. It's just super. We're looking forward. Kathy and I are looking forward, and the Band of Brothers, to being there in Moundsville. We thank Dave Voithoffer and Scott Rager at the Chamber, Scott at the Co-op, and the staff for all they've done. As you mentioned, Dimitri, it's a loaded day. We're looking forward to everything that's going to be there, and then we're going to be in Morgantown at 5:30 on Friday at Barnes & Noble at the Town Center store, greeting fans there and signing books. And we're just so pleased to come back to the Mountain State.
That is fantastic. I think Dave is going to organize a special couch burning just for you in honor of this. So give Dave my best. Thank you very much, Frank Beer. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.